There's another YouTuber we found, Stephanie Quayle, recorded this during the pandemic because she's used Zoom to put all the parts of her band together, and not a bad version of Willie Nelson's On the Road Again. Well, that little tune is all about the US of A and getting on the road again. I love the story coming up from Helen Hayes, who was intrigued by Gisele Whittaker's travels by Greyhound bus. And Gisele had, at this point, been to 48 states of the USA, which, of course, has 50 states, and she's about to visit two more of those states in the US. I'm not giving you a spoiler alert here, but I will tell you that Helen discovers Gisele never intended to visit all 50 states of the Union. But Gisele, who lives in Australia, explains to Helen why she's done what's effectively a full lap of the USA.
Well, today on Travel Writers Radio, we have somebody who has travelled to 48 of the 50 US states. Hello, Gisele Whittaker.
Hi, Helen. It's lovely to be here.
So I'm quite amazed. I don't think I've met anybody who's been to as many US states as you, and I thought I'd been to a few, but wow, you've killed it out of the park. So tell me how you started your journey to try and visit every US state.
You know, it actually didn't start that way. It didn't start as a quest. It became one. But it started because I'd been living in Dubai and I was made redundant and didn't quite know what to do with myself. Friends were getting married in Virginia. So I thought, you know what, I'll pop over to the wedding and I'll just keep going and then maybe go to South America. And so that's what I did. And I found that actually America is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And so I still haven't been to South America because I've kept traveling through the States instead.
Well, I kind of get that. I have that same love for the US. Now, how did you get around? Did you go on Amtrak? Did you drive? Did you go
on mostly went on Greyhound. And actually, I was a little bit concerned, shall we say, about Greyhound, because everybody tells you the stories of the journeys that have really gone wrong. So I was very nervous to start off with, but once I started riding the buses, I found this whole different sort of aspect to traveling that way. And I met people who I would probably not have the opportunity to meet in my normal day-to-day life. And I had so many fantastic and fantastical conversations with people that it just blew my mind. So I ended up doing a lot of it, the majority, by bus.
You're kind of like a female Jack Reacher, the character from the Lee Child books, but without the murdering part.
Not quite that aggressive, but you know.
Oh, no, it sounds fantastic. So you started in Virginia, and what was some of the surprising places that you thought were not going to be great but actually were?
Probably most of the country, to be honest, in that, you know, I didn't go with a lot of expectations. And when I first started traveling, I thought, okay, I'm going to go to all those kind of famous places, you know, so the Grand Canyon. You've got to go to the Grand Canyon, right?
Yes.
You've got to go to Niagara Falls. Those kind of hit list places. And then I basically just filled in the gaps. I also went to places where I knew people, but it was people from various parts of my life across the previous probably two decades. So some very loose connections with those people. But it gave me a reason to, you know, I had a friend in Seattle that I hadn't seen for a long time. So I thought, yeah, I'll go to Seattle. And so a lot of it worked that way. And then the rest of it was kind of filling in the gaps and working out how to get to those places. And quite often it was the places that I hadn't really given much thought to that really blew me away. One of them was Kanab in Utah.
Oh, yes.
What a great place. And I had no concept of it. Someone that I'd met probably in a hostel said, you should go to Kanab. And I thought, okay. And so I went. And when I got there, I thought, right, what do I do now that I'm in Kanab? I'd booked this little cabin behind an RV park, I think it was. And it turns out people go hiking in Kanab. I thought, oh, okay, not really my thing, but, you know, I guess I'm here. That's what I better do. And so I went off and got some information and I took myself off hiking, which is something I always thought that I didn't like. And it turns out on my own, I like hiking, except I'm scared of everything. lots of fears. But it was a real moment of discovery, you know, apart from the fact that here's this incredible landscapes and it's such different kind of country. It's a bit like remote Australia in some ways. But it's quite jaw-droppingly beautiful. And to be able to go out and immerse yourself in that and maybe challenge yourself to do something as well, I think there's something really special in that.
Well, I think for anyone who doesn't know Kanab or what it offers, it's those incredible rock canyons, some of them that are so small that you can barely squeeze through them, and just the textured rock is just like an artwork, isn't it?
It is. It's that very kind of dry, arid, outbacky kind of vibe to it. And you know, but at the same token, there's rivers, there's waterfalls, you know, there's all those little things. And, yeah, it was quite the experience. You know, I then actually took up hiking.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, that's amazing. And what about some of the lesser-known states? Like, Australians do love, you know, we love Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, et cetera, California, everything like that.
Oh, a bit of Idaho, maybe?
Yeah.
I actually really liked Boise, Idaho. I don't think I'd ever heard of it before. And, you know, sort of popped in there for a couple of days, and that had a really nice vibe to it. It was quite often actually the places that are not really on the map, or even places that are known but you don't know what to expect from them. So I actually had a fantastic experience in Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh.
And I mean, let's face it.
It was a terrestrial experience, was it?
Well, partly, because it kind of has to be, right, if you're going to Roswell.
Yes.
So Roswell, obviously very well known for being that kind of area 51, 52, what is it, Area 51? That one, anyway, you know, where supposedly a spaceship landed. And everything is alien-themed, and it could almost be a little bit theme park-ish. But I just had one of those incredible encounters where I arrived and got off the Greyhound bus at the bus station. I'd actually booked a hotel that it turned out was a lot further away than I realised, and I thought that I was going to walk there. That wasn't possible. And so I asked the staff at the bus station if they could call a taxi for me, chatted with the taxi driver, and he came to collect me and said, look, you know, my meter's broken, so I won't charge you. I'll just drop you to your hotel. And I said, oh, that's really kind of you. And so we started talking, and it turned out he actually owned the taxi company. He only worked there a couple months a year. The rest of the year he spent traveling. And so he ended up being my tour guide, basically, for the rest of the time that I was there. No charge, took me all around. I got to live life as a local in Roswell, New Mexico. It was fantastic.
Wow. And they're the connections that really, you know, we keep in our hearts after travelling. It's meeting those people and then
exactly
sharing that connection, for sure.
And it's also finding those little things that you wouldn't have looked at if you weren't with someone who knew the place. So, you know, we ended up going out to a local bar and dancing. You know, I wouldn't have done that on my own. There's no way. And I wouldn't have gone to that bar. You know, even if I'd been with friends travelling, I probably wouldn't have chosen that particular bar because it was out of town. You kind of had to know about it to go to it.
Yeah.
Whereas because he was local, he knew that they did a fantastic steak dinner. So we went there for dinner and then sat and had a few drinks with whoever was in the bar at the time.
And so what about some of the other states? Like, you talked about places like, you know, the Grand Canyon, and you probably went to Yosemite and you probably went to Yellowstone. What about some of the states, I don't know, on the East Coast, for instance, that are quite pretty? And which ones of those really hit the mark with you?
Oh, you know,
Maine?
I think...
Did you go to Maine?
I did go to Maine, but Maine was a little bit cold at the time that I was there. It was fantastically beautiful, but I did this hike to a place called Cadillac Mountain, and it was foggy, it was damp, and I got to the top and couldn't see any of the views that I'd walked up to see. So that's one of my enduring memories. I did eat a lot of lobster in Maine. And I actually visited a few different places. There was someone I met along my travels who was from a place called Kennebunkport in Maine. And he said, if you get to Kennebunkport, come and stay with my wife and I. And so I did, you know, chance encounter. And they were a lovely, lovely family. And I spent a couple of days in little pretty Kennebunkport.
Well, Americans are so generous like that, aren't they?
Oh, amazingly so. I found there was really something that I called just the kindness of strangers that happened regularly, where people would go out of their way to help me or to give information and to make sure I was okay and that I was enjoying being in their country.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, we have to ask the question, what are the two states you have not been to?
Well, I didn't get to Oregon. And I don't know why. It just didn't kind of fit with the different itineraries. You know, I did multiple trips to the US. You know, after that first trip, which was 3.5 months, I went back for another 5 months and started filling in the gaps. And because Oregon was kind of out there on its own, I'd already been to everything around it. I just haven't quite managed to get there yet.
Well, you've got to get to Oregon. It's amazing.
I know, and it looks beautiful. It's just, just didn't quite fit. And the other one I have a better reason for, and it's because there's no Greyhound buses, and that's Hawaii.
Ah, yes, you can't get the bus there.
No, it's a little bit trickier. And, you know, you forget that Hawaii is actually quite a distance off mainland US.
Yes.
So it's not the easiest to get to.
Wow, that's a surprise. I would have thought you would have been there at some other time during your life. But now the question now remains, when are you going to tick these off?
Well, I'm thinking at least one of them has to happen this year. You know, now that we're post-COVID and travel's back on the cards and also now that I'm living in Australia again, which kind of makes the West Coast that little bit more accessible.
Yes.
And it makes Hawaii more accessible in particular. So I think that has to happen this year. If I can get to Oregon while I'm there, I will do so as well.
Yeah, although it means fly to Hawaii and then go to port.
And then pop over. Yeah, but there's that also that there's almost not a fear but a reluctance, I guess, to finish. Because it feels like I've had this idea of getting to all 50 states in my head for so long that in some ways it's kind of nice not finishing it.
Well, no, then you have to start again. It's like painting the Harbour Bridge. Once you finish, you have to start again.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair point. And maybe I could do it more logically next time.
Yeah, and go to some of the parts of the states that you didn't see, because you wouldn't have been able to see a lot of things in a lot of the states because you wouldn't have just had time to see.
Oh, absolutely not. There's so much more to see. What I'd actually love to do is to go to every roadside attraction.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my next quest. Oh, yeah.
Maybe I can come join you for like a week or two here and there. I would love to do a Greyhound trip with you. And then
that'd be great fun.
On Amtrak. That would be cool too.
That would be, although I think I did go on one or two Amtrak trains and they're pleasant, but I found that it was a very different feeling to Greyhound. Like Greyhound is very much, once you're on that bus, you are part of that community and you're part of that community for however long the journey takes.
I found that
really fascinating. Well,
everyone on Amtrak could just be minding their own business, reading a book or something.
Yeah, pretty much. And you might have a conversation, but you also might not. Whereas in Greyhound, you will have a conversation. Guaranteed.
So good. Well, look, I can't wait to hear about the rest of your travels. And thank you so much for talking to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you.
Giselle Whittaker there was speaking with Helen Hayes. And Helen, I tallied up my count of the US states, and I've got 19. Although one of them may not count because of the US Virgin Islands. You've probably been to a hell of a lot more than I have.
Well, not really. I've been to 26 so far.
Oh, that's good.
But I really do want to get to a lot more. I might have to try and tick off another couple this year. I would like to visit all of them, like Giselle. I might just have to get a copy of her book, The Greyhound Chronicles, and just do the same thing. I'd love to.
The Helen Hayes Chronicles.
Well, it may be.
Well, hopefully you'll be toting your award around with you. Hang it around your neck.
I hope so.